Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of 1 Kings. Old Testament pictures illustrate and model New Testament truths. Today, as we learn more about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, we'll also see that the people, the problems, and God's supernatural interventions are not so different from our lives today. With so many challenges coming against God's church and God's people, we need the right spiritual tools and biblical insights to stand firm and overcome. Pastor Steve's study in 1 Kings will show us some very practical tools that may be used powerfully in these last days. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Last week we saw that when Jeroboam's son falls gravely ill, it's Jeroboam that says, you know what, the doctors aren't going to heal him. We need a supernatural healing from the great physician. So he asks his wife to put on a costume, and she winds her way down south to where the house of Abijah lives. It's kind of funny, you know, make sure you disguise so nobody can see you. She's about ready to knock on the door at Ahijah's house, and he says, come on in, wife of Jeroboam. You know, what are you hiding for? And then God says through the prophet, he says, you tell your husband, Jeroboam, that there's something in this boy that responds to the living God. He is going to die, but he's going to be buried in a place of honor. But the rest of Jeroboam's family and even his servants, they're not going to make it. And that's where we're going to pick up the story, chapter 15, verse 1. In the 18th year of King Jeroboam, he was the son of Nebat, Abijam, this is Rehoboam's son in the south, he became king over Judah. Remember, you got the kingdom of Judah to the south, and you have the 10 northern tribes region. And as we've said before, the godly who are living in the northern 10 tribes region, they migrate to the south. It has been said that the northern 10 tribes of Israel have been lost. What happens is one evil king after another comes to the throne in the northern tribes region, and ultimately God brings, interestingly enough, the Assyrians. When king of Assyria takes Samaria, and then he leads away the inhabitants of the northern 10 tribes region, some literally with fish hooks stuck into their jaws as he leads them away. It's that time that some people believe that the 10 tribes were lost. And that's just not so. As we'll see even here in our story tonight, the godly of the northern 10 tribes region all migrate to the southern portion where the temple is. And if you keep careful study, after Kings and Chronicles, all the way to Micah, the last book of the Old Testament, you will see mentionings of the northern 10 tribes. And why is that important? Because some people really got goofy in their theology, and then they claim that they are the lost tribes of Israel. That's just not good historical merit. So we now have the northern 10 tribes region under King Jeroboam, and now Abijam, who is Rehoboam's son, now to the south. Verse 2. And he, Abijam, reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Maachah, and she is the granddaughter of Abishalom, and that's a variant spelling of Absalom. She is Absalom's granddaughter. Did Absalom have a rebellious thing in him? He wanted to take over, literally, the kingship from his father, David. And we know how that ended. Well, this is the granddaughter, and she's married to Rehoboam. Here we are. Verse 3, and he, Abijam, walked in all the sins of his father, Rehoboam. And his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God. as was the heart of his grandfather David. Nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem by setting up his son after him, because David did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and had not turned aside from anything that he, the Lord, had commanded him all the days of his life, except for the matter of Uriah the Hittite. That's the Bathsheba thing. And I want you to notice how many years later, even after David has been long gone from the surface of the earth, that David's light and his example is mentioned. F.B. Meyer, a great Bible historian, said, "How long after David's sun had set, S-U-N, did the light of his life glimmer over his house?" What we enjoy today as Christians is because there have been those who, before us, who have prayed on our behalf. These who have given of themselves, who have passed a heritage on down the line, oh, how important it is that we see that our lives have long-term effects years down the road. God says that He is recording everything that we do for Him. Even, said Jesus, in the case of a cup of cool water given in the name of the Lord. That's the stuff that's going to be celebrated for eternity. Now, verse 6. And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. Now, the rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Abijam rested with his fathers. He didn't rule very long, only a couple of years. And they buried him in the city of David. And then Asa, his son, reigned in his place. So we have Rehoboam, who was a goofball. And then we have Abijam, who's also a goofball. Rehoboam is married to the granddaughter of Absalom. I think that probably says something. While that family was all jacked up. So there's probably no hope for Asa, right? The grandchild of this sort of unrighteous generational thing. Well, there's good news for all of us who were raised in very dysfunctional backgrounds. Watch and see what happens to Asa. Verse 9. In the 20th year of Jeroboam, the king of Israel, Asa became king over Judah. And he reigned for 41 years in Jerusalem. His grandmother's name was Maachah, the granddaughter of Abishalom, or Absalom. And Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did his father David. So, wait a minute. If granddad was a goof up, and dad was a goof up, there's no hope for the grandson, right? How many of you are sitting in this room and you came from several generations of wackiness? Praise God, praise God, praise God for His faithfulness. Amen. Verse 12. And He banished the perverted persons. In your King James, it says sodomites. These are male prostitutes who worked in and for the various temples of Baal and Molech and Ashtaroth and those guys. Because these were often fertility rites and rituals, there was a lot of sexual weirdness that was attached to it. How far had Israel come away from the laws of Moses? Also, he removed Maachah, his grandmother, from being queen mother. If she's the queen bee, how many of you know that when there's a matriarchal system, that can be quite firmly entrenched? And he's basically saying, Grandma, love you, but you're out. Do you think she had an opinion about that? Why? Because she had made an obscene image of Asherah. And Asa cut down her obscene image and burned it by the brook Kidron. That's very close to the walls of the city of Jerusalem. But the high places were not removed, and it doesn't really say why. Grandma Maachah's idolatrous influence is now broken. The northern 10 tribes region, they have one horrific, heinous, God-hating king after the other. And as we'll see tonight, one rebellious king knocks off a previous rebellious king, and he really believes that my rebellious ways are better. And then what happens? He gets knocked off by the next rebellious king, etc. In the south, however, there were 19 kings of Judah, 8 of which were very good kings. 4 of those good kings led revivals in Israel, and Asa is the first of those 4 good kings. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was loyal to the Lord all of his days. Verse 15. He also brought into the house of the Lord the things which his father had dedicated and the things which he himself had dedicated, silver, gold, and utensils. Remember, under Rehoboam, a lot of the great riches and wealth accumulated by Solomon had been taken away by the king of Egypt and a bunch of issues and problems there. And so there wasn't all kinds of sparkle left in the treasuries. So whatever sparkles were left, look what Asa does. He brings them to the house of the Lord. All that I have, Lord God, is yours. Hold your finger here. I want to show you a little bit more to the story. Turn to 2 Chronicles and go to chapter 14. And I want to show you a little bit more about our boy Asa. In 1 Kings, it'll go kind of quickly, but I want to show you a couple things on how cool King Asa is. Chapter 14, 2 Chronicles. Verse 1. So Abijah rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And then Asa, his son, reigned in his place. In his days, the land was quiet for 10 years. Why? Remember in Deuteronomy chapter 28, what did God tell Moses to tell the people? If they obeyed the word of God, what would happen? They would have rest from all of their enemies. Their crops would never fail. Their livestock would continue to exponentially expand. They would have healthy children, etc., etc. And because he did this, King Asa turns around 3 generations of weirdness. And God had seen to it that enemies had come into the land. The crops indeed had not been consistent. In fact, drought and challenges of all manner and all natures. And look what happens when one king of Israel says, we will follow the living God and we will repent. Is there hope for America? Absolutely. You know, if whatever president would come to the fore, and even as John Hancock did when he was governor of Massachusetts, do you know that over 20 times in his governor tenure, he told the whole areas, and especially the Boston area, the central nervous system of the economic force that drove that economy, he said, we're closing the shops. We're closing the retail. We're shutting down the internet. We're closing it all down. Everybody get to church and let the pastors preach God's word and let the people fast. He signed it into law over 20 times, John Hancock did. And did the economy and the problem and the drought and the disease, did it turn around? Answer, yes! Yes, yes. What if President Obama literally stepped up to the microphone and said, we're closing all the businesses on Friday or Saturday? Let us fast and pray and cry out because of our sins as people and as a nation. Do you know, beloved, what would happen in this great land? This stuff. Let's see what he did. Chapter 14, verse 2. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. Well, aren't they the same? Not really. Is praying a good thing? Well, of course it is. But when the Pharisees and Sadducees were praying to impress other people, is it the right thing? See how it works? Any manner of thing, praying, giving alms, whatever it might be, they may be good things, but are they the right things? Good things done in a right manner, oh, that's doubly powerful. And so verse 2, he did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. And look what he did, number 1. He removed the altars of the foreign gods and the high places. Here's what I sort of scratched in the margin of my Bible. Why was there peace in the land? Can we bring that down to where you and I live specifically? Is there turmoil and challenge and rough or muddy waters in our own lives? Take a page out of what Asa did. Number 1, he removed the places where idols were focused upon. What does that mean for us? I don't know. What does that mean for us? Television? Does it mean removing us from going to places where idol worship is getting jiggy, getting crazy, getting out of hand? Number 1, I'm going to remove the focal points where the idols are getting into my life and my brain. I'm literally going to remove myself from places and people that whenever I'm with them, it's that slippery slope that we always end up in the same spot. He removed the focal points. Number 2, he broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images. He removed idol stuff from his life. Do you have idol stuff? Did I tell you the story of the brother who was having his particular issue with his particular idol, and it came through his computer? So what he did was, is he took a soldering iron to his modem. You know what that does to modems, right? It wipes them out. And I imagine all of his friends said, "Dude, what are you doing? You wrecked your modem. You've got to have the internet in your life." And this brother said, "No, I don't." It was a bold step. He removed the idol stuff from his life. So did Asa. Verse 4. And he commanded the Judah, "Seek the Lord God of their fathers." What that means is get up off the sofa. What that means is change a few daily habits. It means get active in word every day, worship every day, prayer and fellowship. Why doesn't God bless me? Why doesn't he come up my street and up my driveway and ring my doorbell and then come and sit with me on my sofa of despair? Why won't he do that? Technically speaking, he never leaves you and he never forsakes you. But you see what I'm getting at? There are many people that are waiting for God to come and grab them. Wait on the Lord does not mean sleep. What does a food service professional, aka a waiter, do? She's serving. He's serving. That's the idea. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Who? Those that wait on the Lord. You mean close the door, draw the drapes, and take the phone off the hook and sit in the dark? And just have a real good perspective to gaze at my own navel? Look at this. All right, Israel, get moving and grabbing God. It's proactive. And then, number 4, and to observe the law. You know, it's one thing to read the word. It's a whole other thing to do it. So you see what he did? He removed the focal points of idolatry. And then he took out the idol stuff of his life, the paraphernalia. And then he said, if you remove and move away from that stuff, you've got to move towards him. Word, worship, prayer, and fellowship. And then finally, do what God's word says. It turned the nation of Israel around. it'll turn any of us around too. Amen? Now, is that important? Oh, yes. Because watch what happens next. Join me in verse 6. Now, because of all this peace, now we get to sit on the sofa, right? And click through the channels. Look what he does. While there is peace in the land, and he built fortified cities in Judah. So he's not resting, is he? He is fortifying and preparing for the battle that will come someday. For the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said to Judah, let us build these cities and make walls around them, and towers and gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. He has given us rest on every side. So we built and prospered. Now to verse 9. Now, of course, the devil always leaves God's movement alone, doesn't he? Then Zerah, the Ethiopian, came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men. Did I read that right? That's 1,000,000 men. Do you know that planet Earth didn't have its first billion people until the middle of the 1800s? Did you know that? So I don't know what the reverse math on that is. How many humans are on the planet right now? I don't know. 1,000,000 men was unprecedented. I don't think anybody had seen that amount of humans growling and snarling at them. What would that be like? Would that be close to 1,000,000,000 people poised on the border of Mexico to us? Would it be? Then there you are at, what's our southernmost city there in California? Anybody know? Mexicali? Nobody knows. All the northern Nevada people. Sorry about that. San Diego. Well, I'm not going to need cities further south than that. Seriously? You got San Diego and then bang? So what if you're the mayor of San Diego? And what if you saw a seventh of the world's population standing there going, ah! And you don't have 1,000,000 people. You barely have, as we'll see here in a minute, about 30,000. How many of you know that that is impossible odds? Ooh, Asa is so dead. Watch what he does. I want to read that one more time. Verse 9, Zerah, the Ethiopian, came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 dudes and 300 chariots. And he came to Marishah. So Asa went out against him. Wow. At least he showed up. And they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zephathah. Now watch this. And because he had removed the focal points, because he'd removed the idol stuff, because he had been actively moving towards God, as it were, word worship, prayer, and fellowship, and because he was trying to do what God's word says, Asa knew that he could call upon the Lord with great faith in this time of adversity, because he had grown close to God's heart in his time of prosperity. And Asa cried out to the Lord and said, this is one of the shortest prayers in the Bible. What does 1,000,000 man army prayer look like? Asa's got one verse. Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. I notice that I have this underlined several times in my Bible. Have you ever felt in some situation, not only was it overwhelming odds at you, but when you looked into your own reserve system and rifled through the cupboards of what resources you could bring to bear, and it occurred to you, I've got no power.
You've been listening to the book of 1 Kings with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.